Okay. Get that out of here. Come out now.
Now we'll start sweating.
That's right. Okay, good morning, everyone. And as always, I thank everyone for coming to start the week amidst Divrei Torah. The topic of today's parash is based on a pasuk in yesterday's parasha, and that is that the Torah speaks within Parashat Chalosa about the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni was a second opportunity that was given to bring the Karban Pesach. The Torah speaks about the fact that this was the second year after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, meaning the first Pesach that took place after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there were people who were tamei, and because they were tamei and were unable to bring the Karban Pesach in the right time, so the Torah tells us, we have it here on the sheet, that there were people who were tamei to nefesh adam, meaning that they were tamei umeh, and they were not able to bring the carbon pesach by yom ahu, which we will see in the Gemara. The Chazal made an inference from those words that they could not bring the carbon pesach on that day. So they came and they approached Moshe and Aaron, and the Torah proceeds to say that they had a claim that, you know, why should we be left out? After all, we would have liked to bring the carbon Pesach as well. One could imagine that this is the very first year after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it must have been that Pesach must have been quite a celebration. So even though a person who was coming obviously would still keep the other halachas of Pesach, but the carbon Pesach was really one of the central focus points of the observance of Pesach in its time, and therefore these people were left out. So everybody is celebrating the great nace that took place just one year earlier, and they couldn't do it. So the Torah tells us that they came to Moshe and Aaron, and we find that in fact they were given a special dispensation that they could bring the Karban Pesach a month later, in the month of Iyar, and this is what to this day we call Pesach Sheni. So if we look here, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, it's on the sheet, the Gemara in Daf Kapei in Masechet Sukkah states the following. We'll start from the Mishnah. Now you'll see the connection to the pasuk very shortly. The Mishnah says that shluchei mitzvah p'turin min asukah. The Mishnah rules that a person who is a shliach mitzvah is absolved from being in a sukkah. Okay, what does it mean shluchei mitzvah? So if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah on the right hand side, Rashi says shluchei mitzvah means holech b'derech mitzvah, a person who is traveling in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Kigom Lumo Torah, a person who is going, let's say, to an opportunity for Limud HaTorah, is traveling to a special Talmud Chacham that he's going to learn from, or to some yeshiva. Apparently they must have had learning going on even on Yontif. So he's traveling to get there, Ulahakul Kinei Rabba, or he's going to greet his Rebbe, which is a special mitzvah to do on Yontif. Lizdo Shvuyim, or he's going to redeem captives, any one of these mitzvahs. Peturim in Asukah, such a person does not have to, is absolved from the mitzvah of Sukkah. And if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says a remarkable thing, that person is absolved from the mitzvah of Sukkah even at the time that they are not traveling. Meaning that if the person is, let's say, on the road, and then at night, especially in the old days, it was impossible to travel, so the person is going to stay over the night. They're going to stop somewhere, they'll check into a Motel 6, right? In those days, he left the candle on for you, right? And obviously, they're going to go into such a place, and they're going to stay over. So now the question is, does the person have to go look for a sukkah? Does the person have to go look for a sukkah? They say, well, a sukkah. So while I'm traveling, so there's no question that a person who is traveling on Sukkot is absolved from the mitzvah of Sukkot. And this halacha is true even for a person who is traveling with Bar HaRashut. Even if a person is traveling for a mundane purpose, a person is absolved from the mitzvah of Sukkot. So for some reason, a person needed to travel on Chol Hamoed Sukkot. So while you're, let's say a person is driving, wants to go visit their relatives up in the New York area, you're going to take a road trip and you're going to drive up. So while a person is driving in the car, the person does not have to eat in a sukkah. The person is puzzled from the mitzvah of sukkah, even though they're not going for a mitzvah per se, they're just going for their own interest, even if a person was traveling because they wanted to go to some amusement park or whatever it may be. During the time of the traveling, a person is absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah, and the person who in the car while traveling wants to take out a sandwich and eat it is allowed to make or adin because of the fact that this is a halacha that the Torah tells us, but sukkah is teshvu, that a person teshvu came to duru, a person is supposed to observe a sukkah, view a sukkah as if it's his house, and just like in a person's house, sometimes the person travels away from home. So too, a person is allowed to travel on sukkahs too. And therefore, a person who's traveling on sukkahs, let's say driving somewhere for business purposes or for enjoyment purposes, while they're traveling, they're absolved from the mitzvah. However, when they stop the travel, if the person comes in at night, the person is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. So therefore, if a person, let's say, wants to go from here to Orlando, a Chol Moed sukkah, to go to the parks there, take the children to have a nice time on Yom Tov, and go to such a place, so while traveling there, a person is completely absolved from sukkah. If you want to eat, you can eat whatever you want while you're going in the car, even if you stop off, you know, you don't want to eat while you're driving, you want to stop off, you know, for a couple of minutes in some rest area, you can sit down at a picnic table and have a sandwich, there's no question. However, when the person arrives at the destination, so then the halacha is that the person needs a sukkah, because you're not traveling anymore. So now that you're not traveling, you have to find a sukkah. So this is a halacha in general, which is not really the topic of this year. I'm just bringing it in as a background to understand what we're about to say. In other words, that's called traveling for a dvar reshus. Now, just for the record, the contemporary postum discussed whether l'chatchila a person should put himself into such a situation. In other words, while it is true that a person traveling on sukkahs is absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah while traveling, but nevertheless, maybe one should avoid doing so. This is a very big discussion in the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and other people who say that a person should try very much to avoid putting themselves into such a situation. Sukkahs is only once a year, and whatever, seven or eight days a year that we observe sukkahs, and therefore a person should try to fulfill the mitzvah, not get into a situation where they're potter. But if a person has no choice, they have to travel, if something came up, if it's a mundane reason to travel for a business purpose or something like that, while they're traveling, they are potter from sukkah. However, once they have settled in, they are obligated. That is by a holeth with bar harashut. However, a person who is holeth with bar mitzvah, a person who is traveling for the purpose of a mitzvah, so then the Mishnah here is telling us, and the Gemara later expounds upon this, that a person who is traveling for a mitzvah on sukkahs is putter from sukkah even when the person arrives at the destination. So therefore, theoretically, if a person was driving up to, let's say, up to New York, to do some sort of to participate in the mitzvah. So I'm going for the purpose, going because there's some rub there who I'm going to learn Torah from, or I have an opportunity to do some other mitzvah there, a special opportunity, pidyon shvuyim, or whatever it is. So that person can drive, assuming they choose to drive, they can drive in the car when they stay, and then even if at night they say, we're going to stay over in a motel, they're putter from the mitzvah of sukkah. They don't have to eat in a sukkah, they don't have to sleep in a sukkah, because when a holeth is bar mitzvah, is putter from sukkah, even b'shach tzviyos, and this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay, now why is this? So we'll go back to, we'll go back to the Mishnah. We have another halacha. The Mishnah says, Cholin u'misham she'en, p'turin min asukkah. If a person is ill and needs someone to attend to them, right? If a person is sick and needs, you know, it happens today, a person with mom's on in the hospital and they don't have the round-the-clock nursing care. It's expensive, whatever it may be, and they want that the family members or friends want to go and be there to help out the chola. So the halacha is that also that person is absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah, completely absolved. In other words, the person can sit in the room with the chola, the sick person is certainly absolved, and the chola and the misham sheyan, the people who take care, who tend to the to this person in need, are also completely absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah. They can sit in his room and stay with him and eat whatever they want, and there's no consideration whatsoever to go into a sukkah. Okay, why is this? So the Gemara says, Mino animili, so if you go down right at one line past, right at the very beginning of the Gemara says, from where do we know this? Says the Gemara, the Tanu Rabbanan, the Shiftecha, the Beisecha, because the Torah says, we find in the Pasuk in Krishna, that the words of the Torah apply, Vayuat Varma Eile, right, the Vishinantum of Anecha, right, you should teach your children the mitzvahs of the Torah, right, and when do they apply? The Shiftecha, the Beisecha. That when you're sitting in your house, says the Gemara, Prat la'osek b'mitzvah. This comes when it says in the Torah, b'shiftecha b'zeisecha, when you're sitting in your house. So the nuance of the pasuk, the implication of the pasuk is that a person has to keep the mitzvahs in the Torah when he's doing what he wants to do. In other words, you have to do whatever the Torah demands when you're doing what you want to do. However, when it comes to doing a mitzvah where you're not there doing what you want to do, you're doing what God wants you to do, you're doing what Hashem wants you to do, so then in such a situation, a person is absolved from other mitzvahs. And this is the idea of osek b'mitzvah, poter min ha-mitzvah, that a person who is engaged in the act of fulfilling one particular mitzvah is freed from the obligation to do another mitzvah. This is what the Gemara is saying over here. Prat la'osek b'mitzvah, etc. Okay, that is one pasuk that brings out this point. If we skip down to the Gemara four lines from the bottom, so the Gemara says, v'ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah mehocha nafka. The Gemara says, do we in fact derive this principle from the pasuk of b'shiftecha b'zeisecha? Says the Gemara, mehocha nafka. There is a different source of the pasuk, a different source for this ruling. What is that? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, and now the Gemara, the Braisa proceeds to quote our pasuk from yesterday's parsha. It says, "Vayhi anoshim asher hayu tmeim u'nefesh adam." There were people who were tamei due to tumas meis, due to tumas meis, and they could not bring the carbon pesach. So the Gemara asks, "Osam anoshim mi hayu?" Who were these people? Who were these people that were tamei u'nefesh? Now you'll say, just as an aside, you'll say, what do you mean? Why is the Gemara so concerned to find out who these people are? Anybody, people died in the Midbar the same way people, you know, on any given day, people passed away. So Lechora, it would be anybody. Why are we concerned who it is? So the Mefarshim discussed this. Some want to say that there was a period in the Midbar that nobody died between the two. There were two countings that took place of the Jewish people. One took place after the Chet HaEgel, and the second one which is described at the beginning of Sefer by Midbar took place in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which was obviously a half a year later. The first counting took place after Yom Kippur. So there is a Kabbalah that during that time nobody passed away. Nobody passed away. And therefore the question is, me, who are these people? Who could possibly have been tameh at that time? Nobody died during that period of time in the Midbar. It was a miraculous thing that even though by nature every single day it happens, people are born, people pass away, but nevertheless, there was a period in the Midbar that nobody died. So the question then is, who could have been tameh lenefesh? Who could have been tameh that they couldn't bring the carbon pesach? So the Gemara considers the following. So the Gemara, the first opinion is, no se arono shol yosef hayu, divir Rav Yosi Hagluli. Rav Yosi Hagluli says, his opinion is, that these were the people who were carrying the Aram of Yosef. We know that the Torah tells us that Yosef requested that he be buried in Yisro, was buried eventually in Shechem, and he was obviously carried out of Mizraim and through the Midbar all the 40 years. So the people who were carrying his Aram were Tamei Lameis. The person who carries an Aram of a mace becomes Tamei. So that's who it would have been. Again, as an aside, you may ask that, don't we know that all 12 of the sons of Yaakov were buried in Eretz Yisrael? They were all carried out of Mitzrayim, so why is it just the people who carried Yosef who became Tamek? It is also discussed in the Mefarshim. Some say that because of the fact that Yosef's body was embalmed by the Mitzrayim, so therefore was preserved, so even though this was many, many years after the passing of Yosef, Yosef was the first of all the sons of Yaakov to pass away. Levi was the last. But this incident took place more than 120 years after the Petira of all these people. And there's a tradition that after 120 years, it's a question whether carrying the Aron would convey Tumas Meis. But in Yosef's case, because his body was embalmed, so it was pretty much preserved. So therefore, the people who carried his arm were tummy. This is the opinion of Yosef Lili. And if you turn over to the next slide, so the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Kiva says, Mishoel Vel Safon Hayu, that these were Mishoel Vel Safon, two members of the family of the Levi'im, of the B'nai Kahat, Shehayu Oskim B'Nadav Aviv. These were two people who had the job, they had the responsibility to carry out the bodies of Nadav and Aviv. We know that the dedication of the Mishkan, Nadav and Aviv tragically passed away, someone had to go take them out. So these two men, Mishael and Al-Safon, as mentioned in the Chumash, Mishael and Al-Safon went and carried them out, so as such they were tamei lames, and therefore these were the people who could not bring the carbon paste up in the right time. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a problem with this. The Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Omer, Rav Yitzchak says it can't be because in Noseh Rosh Shal Yosef Hayu Kfar Hayuk Only Tar, in Mishal Bal Safan Hayu Hayuk Only Tar. The Gemara says that all of these people, even though they became Tamei Lameis, but there was an adequate time that they could have purified themselves. After all, the Jews did not travel in the Midbar every day, and in particular in that situation, they had been camped in that location for quite some time, and therefore these people, even had they been carrying the arm of Yosef, but they could have been tar. Says the Gemara, El Oskim Bemeis Mitzvahayu, that they were, these rather were people who were involved in a regular mace, and the question here, the Rishonim say it doesn't mean what we call a mace mitzvah, a person who has nobody to bury them, but rather it means that somebody in their family died, even though we said previously that nobody died at that time, but apparently there must have been somebody who did. And it says, Shechal Shvi Shalahem Lios Beres Pesach, that their final day of purification, the last day that they were tameh, fell out on the day of the Karban Pesach. Shenemar v'loyuchu asos ha-pesach v'yomahu. That they were not able to bring this carbon v'yomahu on that day. Meaning that had it been one day later, they would have been able to do it, but because it just so happened to work out that the final day of the Tumah was on Erev Pesach, which is the day that you bring the Karban Pesach, they could not do it. Okay, there you have it. Okay, so thus, the Gemara says that this pasuk in our parasha from yesterday teaches us the halacha that a person who's osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. How do you see that? Because of the fact that presumably one could have said that, well, you know, if there's a mitzvah coming up. Right, everybody knew that it's going to be on the 14th day of Nisan, it's going to be the time to the Karban Pesach. And everybody knew that if we become Tameh now, the laws of the Torah dictate that we're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach. And the Karban Pesach is a very great mitzvah. Karban Pesach is one of the two positive mitzvahs, or only two positive mitzvahs in the Torah, that if a person does not fulfill, a person is tied to it. By Bris Mil and Karban Pesach. So therefore it's a very great mitzvah. So theoretically they could have said that, okay, we can't be involved with the mace right now. We, even though there's an Indian of Kavod HaMace, but we're going to have to leave it until later on because of the fact that our involvement at this point is going to make it that we won't be able to participate in the Karban Pesach. So therefore, all right, what could you do? We have to leave it. There's nothing we could do. So says the Gemara, yet they didn't do this. They were in fact coming. And presumably, simply what they did was according to the halacha. So says the Gemara, from this we derive that a person who is involved in a mitzvah comes to you, then you do that mitzvah, and it doesn't matter what else is looming on the horizon. If a mitzvah comes to a person should do it, and while he's engaged in that mitzvah, he is absolved from other mitzvahs, and even if participating in that mitzvah is going to make it impossible for him to do a different mitzvah, it doesn't matter. Osek for mitzvah is patur min hamitzvah. This is a klal gadol that we have in the halacha, and therefore a person who is in the midst of doing any particular mitzvah, it makes no difference how great the two mitzvahs are. We don't put on a scale and say that the other mitzvah is greater than this. You see here that the Karban Pesach is arguably from the greatest mitzvahs, I say, and yet, it didn't matter. Listen, the mace came along, we have to deal with it, right? We have to take care. Or the Noseh, Rosh Liyoseh, whatever it may be, the happening of the Gemara, whatever the situation comes up, we have to participate in this mitzvah, and it doesn't matter what else comes about. And therefore we have a halacha, for example, that if a person is taking care of a mace, let's say this would be halacha, we'll see that even today, that if a person is involved in tzuras hamace, a person who is involved in such a mitzvah, and now it comes time to daven mincha, so the halacha is, you don't daven mincha. You're busy with this mitzvah, you keep doing the mitzvah that you're doing, and even the post can say, even if the second mitzvah is what's called a mitzvah beres, even if the second mitzvah is an opportunity that if you miss it, you won't get it back. In other words, let's say Kriyashma. If you miss the time for Kriyashma, so you missed it, you missed it, you can't make it up. Or Tefillah, which essentially, once you miss the time, you missed it. Nevertheless, the halakha doesn't matter. Also, the mitzvah is kosher min ha-mitzvah, and therefore a person who is involved in such a thing, as this is a common question today, with the Hatzolah, you know, now we have over here even the Hatzolah organization, but people go and they get called to take care of someone in need, or a doctor who gets called to take care of someone in need, is in need of a mitzvah. You're taking care of a person, right? And now comes up a situation where there's another mitzvah that's knocking on your door. I have another mitzvah to do. So the, let's say the person in the Hatzolah, is running to take someone to the hospital and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss the time for Krishna, or someone is coming right now to ask me for tzedakah. So maybe I should stop what I'm doing and give them tzedakah? The answer is absolutely not. You're involved in this mitzvah, you keep doing it. It's finished. It doesn't matter. You'll miss it. It doesn't make any difference. But because once a person is involved in a mitzvah, then they're apart from a mitzvah. Now the truth is, if I say about a doctor, I'm not 100% sure it's the same thing, because there is a halacha that if a person is paid for what they're doing, so then it may not apply, because it may not be that I'm only being osik for mitzvah, it could be that I'm also being osik in my own. This is my job, it's my parnasa, so therefore the law may not be so clear, so I take that back. But certainly a person who's a volunteer, who's going, let's say in the Hatzolah, something like that, and going to do a mitzvah, or a person is involved in Tzuras HaMeis, so then the halacha is, if he's osik for mitzvah, he's put them in a mitzvah. Fine. Now, the question comes up, there's a very, very big debate in the Rishonim, what are the parameters of this mitzvah? What of this law? Meaning, what about a situation where it's Epshul Kaim Shneim? What about a situation where doing the second mitzvah will not make it impossible for me to do the first mitzvah? In other words, for example, if I am, let's say, a shomer of a mace, or a person who's called to be a shomer of a mace. We know this is an important thing, that there should be shmira for a mace. It's brought in the Gemara, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And the person says, well, while I'm sitting there doing the shmira of a mace, so I could theoretically, you know, stop and daven. You know, I could in the middle take a few minutes off and go daven. So this is a question that, do we say osik b'mitzvah potur min ha-mitzvah where it is epshul kaim shneim, where it's possible to fulfill both mitzvahs? So this is in the interest of saving time, I won't go at length in this, but if you go back to the first sheet, if you look at the Tosfos on source number 2 in the Gemara, so we have on the left hand side the Tosfos that begins with the word shluchei mitzvah. The Tosfos says that that Tosfos quotes Rashi that the Mishnah said that a person who's going to do a mitzvah is absolved from sukkah even at night, right? So the question comes up that why should it be that a person who is involved in the mitzvah of sukkah in a mitzvah, let's say, is traveling for his bar mitzvah. In other words, wholesale bar mitzvah, let's take a case. A person is traveling to do the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. In other words, I know that there's a mitzvah, there's a captive who's being held, and I have the ability to redeem this captive, but it requires travel to get to where that person is. So I'm traveling there on sukkah. So we know, as we said at the outset, the person while they're traveling, if you're on a plane or on a car and you're driving or flying to that place, so during the time that you're traveling, you're absolutely absolved from the mitzvah of sukkah, right? By the way, this would apply to an airplane. I kept using the example of a car. Would apply to an airplane also. If a person is traveling on sukkah and you're going, they serve you a meal. Let's say a person is flying to long, you know, nowadays they're lucky if they give you a bag of pretzels. But let's say you're going in a long trip, you're going, let's say, to Eretz Yisrael or across country, and they actually give you a meal. So the halach is, you can eat it. You can eat it 100%. You can eat with bread. There's no question. Because, as we said at the outset, a person who's traveling on sukkah, even with virus sukkah's part. However, if you recall, the Mishnah said, according to Rashi, the Mishnah said that a person who's traveling for a mitzvah has an additional dispensation. That person, even when they arrive at the destination, does not have to sit in a sukkah, does not have to go sleep in a sukkah. That person can just go into the hotel and not even bother looking for a sukkah. That's the way Rashi explains the Mishnah. So Tosfos comes along, and Tosfos and what Rashi says really is not his own chiddush, because if one looks at the Gemara, which is not on the sheet, but the Gemara on the next page on that above in sukkah, the Gemara says clearly this halacha that a person who's traveling for a mitzvah does not have to stay even at night in a sukkah, even though they're not traveling at night. So Tosfos asks, Tosfos says, I don't get it. He says, what are the parameters of this law? You're telling me that only for mitzvah, patim, and mitzvah, that the reason why he's absolved from sukkah is because he's involved in a mitzvah. So the guy is traveling to do to redeem the captive, right? Let's say he has the opportunity to get someone out of captivity, and he's traveling there. So that person, we're saying, doesn't even have to stay in a sukkah at night. So you'll why not? So you'll say, well, because why am I here in this location? Because I'm traveling. Right? The reason why I'm not in my house, the reason why I'm in this location is because I'm traveling. So if it's because I'm traveling, so then I am absolved from going into the sukkah even at night, because this is part of the travel for a mitzvah. So Tosfos says, wait a second. So if that's true, it should come out an absurd conclusion. It should come out that a person, that none of us have to ever do mitzvahs. Why not? Because a person is wearing a talis cotton, if a person is wearing tzitzis, so good, I'm doing a mitzvah. Right now, I'm doing a mitzvah. Standing here, I'm doing a mitzvah. So if I'm doing a mitzvah, also for mitzvah, potim and a mitzvah. So now if somebody comes to me and says, I need your help, I need chesed, or I need you, we'll call Sheikh Alula, with daven mincha, I don't have to, because I'm wearing tzitzis. Or a person who's wearing tefillin. Right, a person wearing tefillin, and now it's after the davening, and there's some honey, a poor person comes over and says, can you give me tzedakah? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't need to, because I'm mostly doing mitzvah. Why? Because I'm wearing tefillin. So Tosfos says, are we going to say such a rule that it seems outrageous? It seems outrageous. In other words, what Tosfos is getting at is that presumably the only time we say also if a mitzvah is absolved from another mitzvah is when the person is actively involved. When he's actively involved, then it would actually mean stopping what he's doing to do another mitzvah, then you would be absolved. But if I'm wearing a talis cotton, or if I'm wearing a talis gadol, or if I'm wearing tefillin, are we going to say that the person doesn't have to do any mitzvahs because he's doing this? That's absurd. So says Tosfos, that being true, it's difficult to understand why a person who's traveling to pidyon shvuyim, when he arrives at night, he can't travel anymore, because in the old days he couldn't travel at night. So he now must stay over the night. So Luchari should have to find a sukkah. Why is he absolved now? You'll say, well, because the guy will say, well, I wouldn't be here if not for the mitzvah. That may be true, but on the other hand, you're not engaged in the mitzvah right now. This is not taking you away from the mitzvah, right? go stay, go get a sukkah. Maybe go find out if you stay in the Jewish neighborhoods. Find out. Maybe people have sukkahs. You can go into their sukkah for the night. Or you can go into their sukkah to eat. Right? So why should that be? So Tosfos comes to the conclusion that that ain't hachinami, that really that should not be the case. And therefore, Tosfos ends up saying that it must be, if you look at the last three lines of the Tosfos, he says, "V'tzarech lomar, we must say, the hachinami ayri, the gagavna, the imitra, the kiyam mitzvah sukkah, hayom avatlim imitzvah." Tosfos says that the only way to understand this Gemara, this ruling in the Mishnah and the Gemara, is that if the person would have looked for a sukkah, it somehow would have taken them away from the mitzvah. Meaning that he's involved in pidyon shvuyim, let's say in our case. If he's going to go at night and have to start finding a sukkah, so who knows, it could take him hours till he locates someone who has a sukkah that he could stay in, or till he makes his own sukkah, whatever it may be. And it could be that if he does all of that, it's going to cause him to go to sleep much later, and as a result, he won't be able to get up bright and early in the morning, because I checked in, I came in at night, but it took me 3 hours to find the sukkah, and by the time I went to sleep, it was already past midnight, and now I can't get up at the crack of dawn, I'm too tired. So therefore, I'm going to end up being mavat somehow from the mitzvah. Says Tosfos, that's the only time that you're absolved. But if not for that, if it's actual time shneim, if it is possible to fulfill the second mitzvah without any cost, it won't affect you, won't it hurt you? In other words, let's say you could easily find a sukkah. Let's say you stay over the night in a major Jewish community, and that you see all the sukkahs all over the place. So therefore, I could easily, there's no big deal, just go knock on the first person's door and be in the sukkah. So then, in the view of Tosfos, the person will be obligated. However, this point is hotly contested in the Rishon, the Ran, which is found on the second, we go back to the Amud Beis, the second side of the sheet. Source number 3, it's a very warm Ran, I'm not going to read it, the print is too small and it's too hot, so not the time to read such a Ran. But the fact of the matter is that the Ran brings proofs, several proofs, which the time the Bir Halacha says, the Raya Tatsumos, is a very, very powerful proof that indicate that this is not true. And the Ran says that it makes no difference. The Ran says that the principle of Osik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah applies even if it's Efshel Chayim Shneim. Even if it would be possible, if a person arriving in a destination, right, says, well, okay, now I'm traveling to do Pidyon Shvuyim, and for the night I'm going to stay over in a Jewish community, and I don't have my own sukkah, obviously, but I could find a sukkah. There are people there that have sukkahs. So the Ran says that the person would not need to do that. He would not need to do that. He could say, no, I'm going into a hotel, and that's all. I'm putter completely from the mitzvah of sukkah. Why? So the Ran says, because of the fact that the concept of osik b'mitzvah patur min hamitzvah means that when the concept is that a person that the Torah, the hashkafa of the Torah is that when a person is doing what the Ratzon of Hashem, a person is doing that which Hashem commands him to do, so at such a time, he's automatically says, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm engaged already in a mitzvah. If I'm engaged already in a mitzvah, there's no reason to do. I'm osik b'mlech b'shamayim, and because of the fact that I'm osik b'mlech b'shamayim, I don't have to do anything else. The Torah did not obligate me to stop one m'lech b'shamayim to be involved in a second m'lech b'shamayim. The Torah did not obligate me. In other words, why am I here in this town? I'm here in this town because of a mitzvah. If not for the mitzvah, I'd be home. So that means that my being here is also part of the fulfillment of a mitzvah. So granted, at this point, I'm not actively involved. At this point, I have time. I have free time. It's not going to detract from the fulfillment of the other mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Ran says that a person, that the way we view it is that if you look, you can read it in the Ran, right, at the very end of the first long paragraph, right before the second paragraph in the bold print of Miu, if you go up one line, so the Ran says that at the end of that line, that kol shehu osik b'melachto shel mokom, any person who is involved in the work of God. Well, Kaibaso Torah, the Troach, the Kayim Mitzvah Cheres, the Torah did not burden that person to go ahead and fulfill a different mitzvah. Afal Pisha Epsher. Even though he could. It's not going to hurt now. It's not going to hurt. I'm here for the night. And I can find this look. It's not going to take me 3 hours. In Tosafos' view, the only way to understand the halacha is it will take me 3 hours to find a sukkah, and by the time I go in, I'll be so tired, and I'm going to go to sleep late, and I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'll be wiped out, I'm not going to be able to get up and go. So that means that the observance of the second mitzvah detracts from the first mitzvah. Says Tosafos, that's the only time you have this tour. Comes the Ran, and the Ran says, not true. The Ran says that even if the fulfillment of the second mitzvah will not detract, but it's going to involve getting it, what it's going to mean is that now you have to engage in the second mitzvah. Because here I am traveling for Pidyon Shvuyim, and now I have to go find the sukkah. So the rabbi, even though it's not hard to find the sukkah, I look out of my hotel room window and I see sukkahs all over the place. Right? I see in this town there's sukkahs all over. Nevertheless, that to go ahead and now ask someone to stay in a sukkah or to try to arrange to be in a sukkah is a tirka, even though it's a very minor tirka, but it's a tirka nonetheless. And I'm in one mitzvah. When I'm in one mitzvah, I don't have to deal with other mitzvahs. I'm sorry, I have a question.
What about learning Torah?
Oh, we'll get to that. So this is the opinion of the Ran, that the Ran holds that really a person is absolved completely from other mitzvahs. However, he says at the end, he says that if you go down to the bold print, he says there are two exceptions to this. You'll say, first of all, you'll say, so wait a minute, but what about Tosfos's Kasha? Tosfos said, it can't be that once you're involved in one mitzvah, you're absolved from another mitzvah. You went out of Tirkla, because then none of us have to do mitzvahs. You're wearing a Kal Sakya, you don't have to do mitzvahs. Right? That was Tosfos's whole basis. Tosfos said, that's absurd. You can't tell me such a thing. Right? So it must be, therefore, that a person involved in a mitzvah must mean that he's actually involved, and if he's not, then he's not absolved. So the Ran says that's not a question. The Ran says because that person is not osi for mitzvah at all. The Ran says a person who's wearing tzitzis or a person who's wearing tefillin, he's not called osi for mitzvah because he's not engaged in the performance of the mitzvah, but rather he's called a mekayim mitzvah. He's a person who right now is fulfilling the mitzvah. In other words, when I'm a person wearing tefillin, so long as he's wearing tefillin, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. But he's not osik in it. He's not in any way involved in the mitzvah of tefillin. The only time he's involved is when he's putting it on. In other words, anachanami, when you're putting on the tefillin, then you're osik for mitzvah. Then he would be absolved from a different mitzvah. When he's putting on his talis, he would be absolved. But once he has it on, so you can't call that person at all an osik. He's not even an osik for mitzvah. So therefore, the Ram says that's no question. You want to know why that is, that a guy who's wearing a talis has to do other mitzvahs? That's because he's not open for mitzvah. That's he's not involved in doing the mitzvah. He did it. He did the act already. He did the work. Now he's just reaping the benefits. I already have the tefillin. So now, once I'm wearing the tefillin, so now so long as I wear it, I get a mitzvah. That's nothing. Says the Ram. But a person who is engaged in doing a mitzvah in any way is absolved from another mitzvah. So says the Ram. But he says there's one little caveat to this, there's one catch, and that is that if without any effort at all he could fulfill both mitzvahs at the same shot, then he should do the second mitzvah as well. For example, in the case of the Gemara, that the Gemara discusses a person who got married right before Sukkot. So in the times of the Gemara, they had what was called Shushbinin. Shushbinin meant that they were people. It wasn't like today necessarily that you made a wedding, you made it on such a large scale. So they were people. It was like the wedding party. And apparently the people involved in the wedding party were literally partying the whole week. Right? That may be why it's called the wedding party. Right? That they were involved in partying the whole time. So therefore, so they would be engaged, is a remarkable thing. They would be engaged in Simchas Chasam Metala the entire week. So the Gemara says that what about these people doing the mitzvah of sukkah? After all, let's say the person got married after Yom Kippur and before sukkah, and now they want to know, well, I'm busy, you know, entertaining the chasm and kalah, busy dancing with the chasm and kalah, so I don't have to go into the sukkah. So there, the Gemara says, no, that's not true, because why don't you just tell the chasm and kalah to go into the sukkah, and you'll dance with them in the sukkah? In other words, you can do both mitzvahs at the same time without any problem. In other words, it's not a question of one interfering with the other. If you could arrange it in such a way that you'll so to speak, kill two birds with one stone, right? You'll have both mitzvahs the same shot. That you could do. That you should do, says the Rambam. But anything less than that, you do not have to do. And therefore, this is the Rambam's lenient, what we would call lenient opinion, that a person who's osik for mitzvah is potter from the second mitzvah, even if it's actual time shenan. By the way, just coming soon to the end, I just want to point out that obviously it goes without saying, and that maybe that's why I haven't said it until now, but the whole discussion of osik for mitzvah, potter from a mitzvah, is only for a mitzvah saseh. In other words, if you're doing one mitzvah, you're absolved from another mitzvah. But it does not mean that you're absolved from a mitzvah lo saseh. So therefore, a person who's taking care of a mate cannot eat a cheeseburger, right? A person who cannot eat kosher, say, well, osik for mitzvah, potter from a mitzvah. You know, I'm doing this mitzvah, so I'm absolved from other mitzvahs. Sorry, they're not allowed to wear shabbos, but I'm doing a mitzvah, so I'm going to put on shabbos, right? Of course, that's not the discussion. That's no question. That the whole discussion is only when it comes to mitzvahs, I say, when it comes to positive mitzvahs. Okay, so if we turn over here to page two, to page two. So what is the ruling on this matter? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Lamed Ches, in Arachayim, the Shulchan Aruch says that kosvei tefillin and mezuzahs, that in the old days there used to be people who would write tefillin and mezuzahs. And this is what it says in the Mishnah, Heim v'tagrem, v'tagre, tagrem, they and all their merchants, v'cho ha'oskim u'lecha shamayim, p'turin me'hanochas tefillin ko ayom, zuz v'shaskrish ma'am tefillin. Okay, in other words, we don't have this today, but it used to be that there were people who were like public servants who used to sit and write tefillin. People needed tefillin, so they would sit and write tefillin. It's all questions. This is what I was mentioning earlier, that by a doctor this ruling may not apply, that he's also for mitzvah because of the fact that the person being paid for it, being paid for his services, it could be that there's a difference there, right? I mean, obviously, you don't have to stop the doctor mitzvah if the person's going to die if you don't take care of them. That's pushes. But what I'm saying is that, in other words, can a person say, well, I'm doing mitzvahs the whole day, so therefore I'm doing the, you know, hasola of people, and therefore I'm absolved from mitzvahs? So it seems from this that the only people who were absolved, the post can say, were people who were doing it for free. That they were doing, this was a public service, they were osik b'tzar ha'tzibur. So it says that they are putter even from putting on tefillin, assuming that they worked the whole day. So says the Ramah, v'imhayu tzrichim lasus malachtan b'shas kriyashma utfila, os p'turin mekriyashma utfila utfilin. That if these people were involved in the public service of writing mezuzahs or writing tefillin, and they were doing it all, it was needed for them to do it all day long, and they had to start at the crack of dawn and work all the way through the day, the halacha is that they are potter from davening, they are potter from tefillin, they are potter from kriyashma, they are potter from all these things. Why? The chalaosik for mitzvah potter mi mitzvah teres. Because anyone who is involved in one mitzvah is absolved from another mitzvah. Okay, this is what we have the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch. And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, Zifkan Chav Tes, so he says, that this implies that even if a person were to stop, in other words, these guys who are writing tefillin the whole day, so what would you say? What would it hurt them to stop for 5 minutes in Tei Shema Esrei? What would it hurt them? Let them say, let them bow the mitzvah, let them say Kriya Shema, right? So, you know, here we get into the discussion of Tosfos and the Rambam, because Tosfos would say, what do you mean? It's actual time shenan, just because you're doing this mitzvah, but you can do the other one also. So call time out from this responsibility and go ahead and daven for a few minutes and then come back and do your job. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and this seems to be the consensus, and that's really what the Ramah, that we'll see in a minute, back to the Ramah, that the halacha seems to be in accordance with the ruling of the Ran. Okay? Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if he could stop and go back to the first mitzvah, even if the second mitzvah is a greater mitzvah, like the mitzvah Karban Pesach, nevertheless, once you started the first one, you're done. You don't have to do the second one. And if you go back on top to the Ran, so the Ran says, Kola Osik, b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah acheres, imzarech l'tzroach achar acheres. If it involves any tirchah whatsoever, meaning if it involves, it doesn't have to be that doing the second one is going to take you away from the first one. Totally. You know, you'll get so involved that it'll disturb your fulfillment of the first mitzvah. But even if it's not going to do that, but it's just, it's going to be some sort of tirchah. I have to go do this. I have to go get a pair of stone. I have to put on. You're off the hook. You don't have to do it. Okay? Says the Ran, except, it says the Ramah, following the Pesach of the Ran, however, if it is Avon Yochel, Asa Shem Ka'aka, below Torah, if you could kill two birds with one stone, then you should do it. But anything other than that, you don't have to do. And therefore, that the halacha would be that a person who is involved in such a thing, where he's doing volunteer work on behalf of the tzibur, and we have also similar halacha is found in, let's see if we have it here on the sheet. No, I don't know if we do, but there is a halacha that says that a person who's osik b'tzarchei tzibur, if a person is involved in the needs of the community, that person would be absolved from doing another mitzvah. If, let's say, on Friday afternoon, the eruv here was down and it's going to require up to the last minute to fix the eruv, and the people involved in the repair of the eruv are they want to contact if he's going to do this, he's not going to have time to have a mitzvah. He's going to miss mitzvah. So the halacha is so fine, so much mental, because he's also the tzarchei tzibur, and a person, it doesn't say that on this page, I apologize, it says it somewhere else, and I didn't, by accidentally, oh, here it is, the Mishnah Berurah, I apologize, the Mishnah Berurah rules, it's actually a psak of the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin, that it says, that's not on the sheet, it says, Hayosik b'tzarchei rabim, begiz man kriyashma, that if a person is involved in tzarchei tzibur, and it comes to time for kriyashma, he should not stop and say kriyashma. And if he'll miss kriyashma, he'll miss kriyashma. What can you do? Hayosik b'tzarchei tzibur, that is considered also for mitzvah, and therefore, whether it's, whatever it is, if it's to the need of the community, the Shabur says, even financial need of the community, if you're a person who is lobbying on the, you know, with the for needs of the Jewish, serious needs of the Jewish community, you know, on with the congressman or whatever it may be, and a serious issue comes up and he has to be there, he doesn't have to, if need be, and he has to be there from the crack of dawn until at night, he wouldn't have to put on stone, he wouldn't have to daven, he's puzzled from all the mitzvahs because of the fact that he is involved in this mitzvah. Okay. Therefore, it doesn't necessarily come up all that often with us, because very often our involvement in any particular mitzvah allows us still the time to do a second one. But theoretically, this could happen. It's very common a person involved in Tzarchei Tzibur or a person involved in Hatzolah, right, would have this question very often that, you know, here, if I get involved, I'm going to miss everything. Right? A person gets called to an emergency. A person needs to be taken to the hospital or tended to, and it's going to take several hours. And if I miss this, if I get involved with it, I won't be able to daven, I won't be able to Kriya Shema, I won't be able to daven a minyan. It doesn't matter. Because once you go to this call, you're also to Tzarchei Tzibur, and such a person is fucked. Okay. Now, just before we finish, just a few points I just want to make. I apologize for the heat. Hopefully we'll have it remedied before next time. So now, the question is, the question that comes up is as follows. The question is, what about if a person wants to stop doing the first mitzvah to do the second mitzvah? Okay, let's say you say, well, I don't mind. I actually like the second mitzvah better than the one I'm doing now. So let me stop doing what I'm doing in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So the halacha is that is not the right thing to do. That's not the right thing to do because of the fact that a person cannot choose favorite mitzvahs, and it's disrespectful to the mitzvah that you're doing. You know, much in the same way that if you've ever had the experience that you're talking to someone and then the cell phone rings, and this is one of my pet peeves, right? The person answers the phone call, and I always say, why is the person calling you more important than me? You were talking to me, so why now do you feel the need to talk to that person? You're still talking to me. So why that everyone who calls you on the phone is more important than me? So, right, so I think a lot of people have that hargasha. So it is, maybe just me, but the fact is that so it is with mitzvah. So it is with mitzvahs. So you're doing a mitzvah, so what do you mean? The first mitzvah says, so to speak, well, I'm not good enough, you have to go do the second mitzvah. So a person, it's not just a question of you don't have to do the second mitzvah, you're not supposed to do the second mitzvah. You're not supposed to do the second mitzvah. It's wrong to do it. To such a degree that the question comes up, that, and this is discussed, we'll see right now in the postgame, that what would be if a person did the second mitzvah, is it considered that he fulfilled the mitzvah? In other words, for example, let's say a person, it's the night of Pesach, and a person is involved in pidyon shvuyim. Okay, he's involved, so he's negotiating with the authorities in the midst of pidyon shvuyim, and started the day before, and he's continuing, and he's involved in pidyon shvuyim, and it's going to be negotiation through the night. They would be negotiating through the night, and the person says, hey, but it's Pesach, so I'm going to miss the Seder. I don't want to miss the Seder completely, especially there's a mitzvah midaraisa to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. So, you know what, I'll tell whoever I'm speaking to, excuse me for 5 minutes, I'll go outside, eat a kazayas of matzah, and then come back. So the halacha is wrong to do that. It's wrong to do that because you're involved in this mitzvah. So what are you getting involved in another mitzvah for? Right? It's wrong to do that. To such a degree that the question now is, let's say he did do that. Did he fulfill the mitzvah? Did he fulfill the mitzvah? In other words, we could say that since it's wrong for him to stop mitzvah number one to do mitzvah number two, so then in effect, mitzvah number two loses its status as a mitzvah in this context. In other words, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, but not in this situation. So therefore, in this situation, I wasn't obligated to eat matzah. So if I did, it could be I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So you'll say, what difference does it make? Well, I'll tell you how it could make a difference. Because let's say the negotiations end at 11 o'clock at night. He wasn't expecting that to happen. He thought it was going to go longer. But the negotiation ends 11 o'clock at night, and now he has time to eat matzah. So the question is, does he have to eat matzah again? And or can he say, well, I ate matzah already, I don't have to eat more. On the other hand, you can say, yeah, but when you ate that matzah, it wasn't a mitzvah. So therefore, it doesn't have the ability to exempt you from the obligation of eating the mitzvah matzah, because it was not a mitzvah to eat matzah at that time. So if you look here, I'll go very quickly, if you look here at source number 5, the analogy is made to a case that a person who has temporary dementia. A person, there's a case that's discussed in the postgame, a person who sort of has dementia, a person who becomes a shota, but only for periods of time, right? Sometimes they're coherent and sometimes they're not. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Uncle Kazayas Masa do nichta beish suso. If a person eats a Kazayas of Masa on Pesach night when he is in a state of dementia, right, then he's halachically a shota is not obligated in the mitzvah, okay? The achatachnis rape. But then, as time wore on, he got better. In other words, now he's coherent. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Kayez Lecho Ashmashin Isrape. He has to eat matzah again. The matzah that he ate when he was in a state of dementia does not absolve him because of the fact that he wasn't mechuyev to do the mitzvah in that state. The shota is part of the mitzvah. So therefore, he cannot absolve his obligation. Okay, he says, because that was at a time that he was potter. So now the question is, that being the case, it makes sense, it should be that way. So the question is, so what about the guy who interrupted the pidyon shvuyim to do a mitzvah? So says the Chofetz Chaim, the Shaar HaTzion, if you look down at the bottom of the page, he says, however, this would not apply to a person who is osik b'mitzvah. The Chofetz Chaim writes there, he says, lafuke shomra zedo shomra meis, that a person who is engaged in a mitzvah, let's say he's doing Hashavas Aveda, he's traveling to return an Aveda, lost item to somebody, he says that even though he's also absolved from all other mitzvahs, he's like a shoda, he's absolved from all other mitzvahs, right? And even if it's the Epshel Kayim Shneim, Right? Nevertheless, he says, "Im ochel matzah yotzi yedecho chotzer." Right? Why? Says the Chafetz Chaim, because the fact is that he's not considered removed from the obligation of mitzvahs, but rather he is considered a person who has a ptur. In other words, you don't have to do it, but you're not out of the context altogether. You're not, it's not that you're considered an eino bar chiyuva, it's not considered that you're not obligated at all, just you don't have to. It's like a temporary ptur, but that still, the person still is in the basic obligation of mitzvahs, and therefore he would not have to eat matzah again. If a guy on a hatzol call on Pesach night had matzah with him, and eats the matzah, and then he's able to return to his family to the Seder before it's too late, and he says, "Do I have to eat matzah again? I don't like eating matzah. I ate one already. Do I have to eat more?" The answer is no, you don't have to eat more. Because you did it. You'll say that at that time you were potter, it doesn't matter. That tour doesn't put you quite in the category of a shota. However, he says at the end here that the person should not say, the hatzol member who's eating that matzah should not say a bracha on that matzah, because he can't say the tivanu, he can't say that we were commanded, because he was not commanded to eat matzah in this situation. So therefore that he should not do. Okay, just very late, I just finished up. So this is the basic topic of osik for mitzvah, partner and mitzvah. A person engaged in one mitzvah, we hold the halacha does not have to, it's wrong to stop that mitzvah and get involved in the second mitzvah. A person who is davening and an oni comes in, it's very common in shul that the people come in collecting. So if you're in the middle of davening and a person asks you for stuff, you don't have to give it to them. Because of the fact that it may be wrong even to give it to them, because I'm osik for mitzvah, I mean, I'm davening now. I'm davening now. I have to give you. I have to give you the start of middle davening. So if it's during what they call Zarat Hashatz or something like that, or at a time that you know the person I'm anyway not davening. It's just part of the davening. It's part of the tefillah, but I'm not actively engaged. So then probably it's different. But if I'm in the middle of davening, somebody puts a hand in front of my face and says, and they ask for a handout, I'm open for mitzvah. I'm davening. I'm doing the mitzvah tefillah. So I'm doing the mitzvah tefillah. How can I stop the mitzvah tefillah? Disrespectful to tefillah to go ahead and do this mitzvah. But if it, even if they say, well, just take a second, just reach into your pocket and give them. But even that, it still have to put your hand in your pocket, you have to take the money, it's a tirchas sheres, that a person would be absolved from. But if it was at a point in the davening that he's not actively engaged, then he would. The only exception to all of this, and let's finish up right now, the only exception to this is well known. The only mitzvah that we don't say, oh, mitzvah, my mitzvah, is Talmud Torah. When it comes to Talmud Torah, we know it's different. It's Gemara in Moed Katan, which is here on the sheet, but that was already late. I don't want to get involved in reading the Gemara. But basically, we know that when it comes to the study of Torah, a person there, we say that a person should interrupt the study of Torah to perform other mitzvahs if that mitzvah cannot be done by somebody else. So therefore, if there was let's say, a classical case of an old lady who needed to cross Miami Gardens Drive, and she comes in here to the Beis Medrash and says, "I'm stuck, I need to get to the other side, and there's nobody around to help me." So a young man who's sitting and learning would not be able to say, "I'm sorry, I'm learning," but he has to stop learning to go and help across the street because there is nobody else to do it. If there is somebody else to do it, then the person would not be allowed. But if there's really a topic for a different share, but if a person, if there is no one to do the mitzvah, so then that's the only exception to the rule of osik mitzvah patur mitzvah. The reason for that is debated amongst the different mafarshim, but the simplest explanation is because the whole purpose of Torah study is total talmud shemayu de maisa. The Chazal say that learning is the purpose of doing. So therefore, if a mitzvah comes up, I have to stop to do that mitzvah. But that's only if there's nobody else to do the mitzvah. So I once got a phone call some years ago from a person in the community who said that it was a Sunday afternoon and he wanted to move furniture in his apartment, and he knew that we have able-bodied young men here in the Beis Medrash, and he said, "Send over some boys to help me move the furniture." So that type of thing, it's not that it was, why should they stop learning to go do that and maybe get some other people to do it? You can find someone else, they pay somebody to do it. And I wanted free labor, so why not take the fellows who are sitting and learning? So that's not right, because if it's Efshai Dachayrim, so then it's wrong for a person to stop learning. For any person, even if not officially learning, you know, even a person who works but is learning with a chavrusa and something comes up, so what are you stopping in the middle of learning? But if what comes up is a mitzvah that nobody else is able to do, there is nobody else to do it, then the halacha is that a person should stop learning if he actually lost his idea there.